Would you all open your laptops to Matthew 22? If you don't have a laptop, you'll find it in the pouch in the seat ahead of you. You know, that's probably what the future is going to be. Everybody turn on your cell phones to Matthew 22. If I asked you to go to Bible.com, BibleGateway.com, or to BlueLetterBible.com, you wouldn't be able to today. If I said, hey, let's all turn to the Auburn Journal online, you wouldn't be able to. But coming Tuesday, you will be able to, because on Tuesday, we're going to hook up to a satellite, high-speed wireless. I don't know how many other churches you can take your laptop to and put it at 400% Zoom if you really want to look into the Scripture. If you want to check the Greek or Hebrew reference through blueletterbible.com, you'll be able to do that in this church. And of course, if you want to pass notes, you can chat with the deacon. Hey, the monitors need to be turned off. Run up there. There's a lot of things that can happen high tech. You think, oh, but it would just be too much for the church to bring technology into the church. But you know what? It isn't. I went down to Saddleback. Rick Warren invited 250 pastors from all over the world to come there, and I was 249. I mean, I got in, and I took my laptop with me, just wondering if they happened to be wireless. Sure enough, it was wireless. No questions. You know, there was no password to have to put in. I mean, we'll probably have a password here because, you know, where there's a place to get in trouble and you got people like Bob Knapp around, you know, chances are you might wind up in trouble. So we're going to stick God is watching as a password, or I love Mom. I think I love Mom is an acceptable password. Then you won't get on. You know what? This is technology right here. It is fire, yeah. And someone said, oh, we don't want to let the little children light the candle. So we're going to ask any little children or people who fumble when they play with fire or anybody that has ever burned down a garage or the back field. We're going to ask you if you ever want to come up and light a candle and pray for somebody that you have an adult go with you.
My brother blew up a boy's
bathroom. All right. Okay, now. That's what I'm going to do instead of pound on the pulpit. When we have the pulpit there and I want to make a point, I'm going to say, Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. Is that all right? See, a lot easier on my fist. This pulpit is, it's a good piece of furniture, isn't it? You like that pulpit? I like it. But I also like this seat over here. Because I'll bet if we wanted to have little Alexis Rosenau sing us a special, I'll bet you that somewhere on this platform you wouldn't be able to see her if you're sitting over there and she's standing over there. How many of you could see Kurt real clear today when he sang his solo? Or did you have to struggle a little bit? I've got a clock down here, and I see that it's 10:45. So I've got plenty of time. Will you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 22? And go to the 30th verse. Somebody has come to test Jesus, to try to get Jesus caught up into some kind of debate that's going to steal away his time. You know, the agenda of the thief, to come to steal. Sometimes we come to worship and the birds of the air come to steal away the worship experience. Just as the Holy Spirit would try to work with us to water the seed of God, just as an evangelist would work among us to try to pull out the weeds around that seed that's been planted in years past, the thief comes to steal the word before it ever has an opportunity to take root and to grow and to produce a 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. Verse 30, Jesus replied. Let's look at verse 29. Jesus replied, you are in error. You are in error. Can religious leaders ever get it wrong? Even if it looks good, it smells good, it sounds good, even a Bible being waved or thumped, can it be wrong? Jesus said, you are in error because why? The people that answered are the people that have Bibles in their hands. And the people who didn't answer might not have a Bible in their hands. You just got to trust that all those murmuring around you are murmuring the Word of God. Jesus said, you are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God. The power of God. I've heard that the cross is foolishness. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But for those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Well, you know, if you ever are asked to preach a message, to share a message, to give a testimony, if you'll go to that very thing that is foolishness to those who are perishing, you can count on this fact, that it's the power of God for those who are being saved. Now, if you were online, I could ask you to check the reference, give me that verse and read. But you might have to rely on that little concordance in the back of your Bible. But would somebody find that? The preaching of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. See, because we're coming up on Easter, and that's about it. Preaching of the cross. Good Friday. There's a message that hardly ever really gets heard. All you hear is about somebody talking about a message. It was Tony Campolo, and he had gone to this church, a multicultural church, and the pastor was preaching a message. And I don't know if that message, the actual message, was ever recorded, like last week's message. It got missed. If you weren't here listening with your Bible open, with eyes to see and ears to hear, that message is lost forever. It's not preserved in digital or analog form. It's only preserved by those who are watching and listening, maybe taking notes, rehearsing the message later, talking about it at the table fellowship after church, talk about it the next day. Tony Campolo says that the pastor was preaching. And it's something like this. He'd been betrayed by us. Betrayed by one in his life. Teaching, he had poured off into this friend, this one among 12. With the case of betrayal, he was arrested. And he was stripped and he was whipped. He said that they would never leave him and go to the death for him. Betray them. Betray him through their silence. Through their denial. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. He's to carry the cross to that place they call the skull, to Calvary. And he's thrust down on the ground on that cross, and spikes are nailed into his hands and into his feet. And that cross is lifted up. The man hanging on the cross, beat beyond recognition. He is humiliated. Naked, bleeding, sweating, weeping, beyond recognition. Looking upon people who had at one time may have listened with interest to something he had to say, but now we're part of a crowd. Watching and living out the cries from the crowd before Pilate, crucify! Crucify! Seven last words from the cross. Among them, woman, this is your son. I thirst. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished. It's Friday. it's Friday. And those who had walked with him, those who had been taught by him for 3 years, are wondering, what's going to happen? What is going to happen to us? What was going on with all those sweet, precious, powerful promises we heard from our master? Because it's Friday. Not much seems good about this Friday. Our master has been humiliated before our eyes. He's been plucked from the throne we tried to put him on. He's been nailed to the cross like a common criminal. What come up? Friday. Lost. In the world. Without hope. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Oh, Moses had strengthened himself in his innermost man before Pharaoh time and time again and say, let my people go. And finally, plague after plague after plague. Pharaoh says, go. Take your people and go. Go. After having lost his own firstborn son. Go! So Moses gathers all the captains of the tribes and leads this great massive group of people out of Egypt to the very edge of the chapter, to the edge of that sea of reeds. Somebody turns around and says, look! Look! Somebody looks ahead and says, look! We're trapped! Pharaoh and his men are coming! The horses and chariots are coming! And here is this vast sea before us! It's Friday. It's Friday. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday! Maybe in your life. It's Friday. Maybe in the lives of your children. It's Friday. Maybe in the lives of your grandchildren. It's Friday. In the life of the one that you see staring at you in the mirror. You're up at the very edge of a chapter. And you forget everything he has done for you up to this point. So many times David was at that edge of a chapter where he does all what's going to happen next. But somewhere in us, that still small voice says, it's Friday. Yeah, it's Friday. This is what Friday feels like. This is what Friday looks like. Yeah, it's Friday, but we don't live in Friday. We're just passing through. Because Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. The voice of hope. The God who has brought us this far isn't just going to leave us, isn't just going to dump us, isn't just going to drop us. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And our time, our space, our circumstances, our life situation is somewhere in between. He is the author and the finisher of our life. He's A to Z. And we're somewhere in between. L-M-N-O-P. But it ain't over till it's over. It's Friday. Sunday. It's Friday, preacher sitting in the front. He's not wringing his hands. Oh my, what are we going to do? What have I got myself into? Mm-mm. Nope. We've got a ways to go, don't we, church? A vast number of people here who don't know the word well enough to just share the simple gospel message in a way that they know that they know that they know that if they can help this other person come to the place of admitting that they're a sinner, believing that Jesus is God's Son, the only hope held out for a lost world, And that if they'll confess their sin and commit their lives to Him, that they can be saved too. Maybe that number of people who thought they were ill-prepared all of a sudden realize, I am prepared. A, B, C. Admit that I'm a sinner. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him and commit my life to Him. ABC, it's what we teach at Vacation Bible School. You mean this thing that I teach to the fours and fives and the six and the sevens, it's good for a 67, an 80-year-old person? Yeah. It's just that easy. It's as easy as ABC. It's as easy as exit 1, 2, 3. You're telling somebody how to get to your church on Sunday, Easter Sunday? It's as easy as exit 1, 2, 3. We're not a bunch of high-minded people over at Bell Road Baptist Church. We want to make the Word of God plain and simple. Amen. Let's leave all the deep stuff to the Holy Spirit. Amen. He knows how to scratch your itch if we'll just get around the Word. Matthew 22, you're all there, aren't you? He said, you're in error because you do not know the or the. Let's try that again. You are in error because you do not know the
Scripture
or the
power of God.
Amen. I like that. I don't want to be in error, so I better know the
Scripture.
And I better have the
power of God.
And how am I going to get the power of God? I've got to preach what is foolishness to those who are perishing. Not worried about whether they think I'm foolish. The Word already tells me. The Apostle Paul already tells me that I'm going to be rejected by those who think they're wise in their own eyes. They're going to call me a fool. They're going to call me a babbler. They're going to call me some religious zealot. They're going to call me a bigot. They're going to call me a hater of souls rather than a lover of souls. I've got to know Jesus real well. Because Paul tells me that they're going to look at me as a fool. I've got to know deep down in my knower that this preaching of the cross, though it be foolishness to men, is the power of God. So we don't want to cover the cross up. It's an old rugged cross, but sometimes it's a nice little golden cross that your grandma gives you on the day you got baptized. The message of the cross, not the physical representation, the message of the cross is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the
power of God.
Man, I want to know the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven, says Jesus. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What are we talking about? We're talking about a family. We're talking about grandpa, dad, and me. Jesus, after he just got done telling these religious leaders, those trying to trap him, Jesus just got done telling them, you're in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God. You've heard that he says, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is not the God of a bunch of dead people. He's the living God. That means Abraham's still alive. Isaac, because he lived by faith and it was credited to him as righteousness, just like his dad's faith, he's still alive. Jacob, though he started out as a snake, a slippery character, a liar, a cheat, sometimes afraid, a runaway. Jacob wrestled with an angel, didn't he? And he held on. Oh, he didn't get pinned by the angel. He didn't give up. That messenger of the Lord that wrestled with Jacob on that way home after 20 years facing the fear of his brother Esau, who last he knew was breathing out murderous threats against him. Jacob wrestled and he held on and he said, I will not let you go until you, what? Until you bless me. And Jacob got the blessing. And he was given a new name, Isaac. We need to know. I'm sorry, Israel, thank you. Thank you. See, we got somebody there helping me out because I'm nearly 50. And sometimes I'll say Chronicles when I mean Corinthians. And sometimes I'll say Paul when I mean Peter. Jacob was given a new name, Israel. That's a name he earned. He worked it. He earned it, and yet, on the other hand, it's simply a gift. I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Yeah, maybe he didn't earn it so much. Maybe the wrestler, the big-time wrestler, just wanted him to desire it, to go after it, to give his all and then some. So that he'd always enjoy the blessing. Not have to try to cheat and steal from somebody else to get the blessing, but to just receive the great and precious promises of God. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, said Jesus. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Rabbis had a body of teaching that they called their yoke. You know, they put their teaching upon their disciple. And Jesus would say that the Pharisees are putting a yoke of oppression on their people rather than a yoke of freedom. That the teaching in Jesus' time was becoming burdensome. Not just becoming, it had long ago become overbearing, too much. Last week in the lost message, the one that nobody will ever hear again, I came up with a number. And I said that most of you who have taught the Word of God, you've repeated this, that the religious leaders of Jesus' time had taken the Ten Commandments and it turned them into how many? 600 and something. I got it right last week. I mean, I just pulled it out. 613. Of course, there's no way you can go back and test that now, can you? Because you're not going to find it on the internet. But I tell you, I had it right. 613. But I asked the question, how or why did they just stop at 613? I mean, if they took 10 commandments and made 613 out of them, why didn't they go on to 650 or 700 or 800? I mean, if a few of us got together and we were already given 613 commands that would be pleasing to God, thou shalt not run in the church. You know, 614. Thou shalt not light a candle unless you have reached the age of what? Of accountability. Isn't that in the Bible? The age of accountability? Is it in the Bible or isn't it? The age of accountability? No. It's something that man made up, right? What do we say is the age of accountability? 12? When we have our Christian bar mitzvah? No, it's just really basically it's when mom and dad thinks that the little girl or little boy knows what they're doing. Or grandma or grandpa, whoever has charge of that little one. In Baptist talk, the age of accountability is when you're going to let somebody say, I want to be baptized, and you're going to baptize them. And they're not just getting baptized because their little friend down the street's getting baptized or because I want to ring the bell at Jeunesse Park. I just wonder if anybody ever pulled the rope at Jeunesse Park just because, I mean, it's a bell. You know, I want my turn to ring that bell. I just wonder if any unsaved person ever slipped through, rang that bell, didn't really mean it in all their heart and soul and mind and strength that I'm admitting before God that I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus is God's Son and He died to pay for my sins? You're in error because you do not know the or the. Yeah, I want to know the Scriptures. I want everybody in the church, I want the little ones who do get baptized to have discipleship. I want them to come to Team Kid. And I want Team Kid leaders to realize if they're not getting it here on Wednesday night, when are they getting it? Because what if Sunday school teacher this week is sick and somebody just goes in and just wings it and there's no word? This word might be the only word she gets on my Wednesday night class. And she might be a little girl who's only here for a week because she's in the midst of a divorce custody battle. Oh, I want to take our job seriously, that if God gives us a little one, we're going to do our best to get the Scriptures planted like a good little seed in that little soil of a seven-year-old heart. And that somebody with the power of God will love on that little soul. And if we have an opportunity to do it a second time and a third time and a fourth time and on and on and on, that we'll never forget that Jesus loves the little children. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at His teaching. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Okay, we got to have a meeting. Let's all come together. Hearing that He had silenced the Sadducee, this other gang gets together. Okay, guys, Pharisees, come on, huddle up. One of them, who's an expert in the law, tested Him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That was the lost message. Hanging on love. We've got to hammer on legalism because our Lord and Savior, our Master, hammered on legalism. Law is good. Law is protective. Law is provisional. Law is good. But law outside of love kills the spirit. It kills the heart. It kills the mind. It kills the strength. It sucks the joy. I heard an evangelist once say that sometimes people get just enough religion to make themselves miserable. Religion. The Auburn Journal tells me that they're going to put my story in the arts and entertainment section of the Friday Journal. And I think, great! Arts and entertainment. I don't think entertainment is a naughty word. I think you ought to have your Bible teacher be an entertaining teacher. One that'll keep you awake. One that you'll want to come back and tune into again because it's entertaining for you. It entertains your time better than the pillow. You know where they took old Pastor Rob? Yeah, it was in the arts and the entertainment section, but they put me on the religion page. And you know, as Baptists, we say it's not religion, it's what?
Intimate relationship.
Yeah, it ain't religion, it's what? Relationships. Now, tell me, where is that in the Bible? Well, it's not actually there as a verse. But it's just there from A to Z. It's all the way from the beginning to the end. Relationship. God formed man in His image. Male and female. He made them in His image for relationship. And when relationship was lost, when paradise was lost, then God provided a way. Our Lord Jesus God from the beginning. God in the beginning. The Christ was sent. Not created on earth, but from everlasting to everlasting. God, the Son, the second person of a threefold Godhead. God, the Son, was born to a virgin. It's a wonderful story, Christmas. But that story always leads to the cross, which is the foolishness for those who are perishing, but it's the power of God for those of us who are being saved by that very message. 613 laws. 248 of them were affirmative. They were do's. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. 365 of those 613 laws were negatives. Don't. Went to the gospel mission last night, and the room was packed. I would say it was about this many people and about half of this. All crammed together. Nice little room. Not a lot of insulation needed. There was no feedback. It was just a nice, alive room. But before we heard the gospel, before we got to get the meal, you know, you don't feed the people at the rescue mission until they have to sit through a sermon, right? No food until you sit. It's just kind of like Sunday school. Let's have our lesson, then we'll have our craft, or then we'll feed you the cookies, you know? But there are people now that are going to the gospel mission not just for the meal, not just for the place to stay for the night. They're going and then leaving afterwards. Kathy observed that. They're getting life there in the midst of the rules. And I'll tell you what, there were about 613 rules last night. They were read off. I mean, one of the rules was, you will shower when you come here. If you're going to stay the night, you will have a shower. And I heard a little lady in the back go, amen. Amen. She thought shower is good for her. We don't want to be offensive, do we? Yeah, there were a lot of don'ts and there were a lot of do's. There were no hats at the gospel mission. I saw a guy, I saw one of the bouncers, one of the ushers, whatever they call them, go up and kind of tap a guy on the back, and he looked up and he removed his hat.
Bad hair day.
Yeah, you know what? Hats wouldn't bother me, but I'll tell you what, if I was an usher at the gospel mission and that was the rule, I would say to anybody under my authority, you got to follow the rules. You don't have to always agree with them. There's a rule on I-80, how fast you're supposed to drive. And what is that? Does anybody know? 65? How many of you go 65, never over it? Please raise your hand proudly. Just got one legalist, two, three, four, five, six. Got a couple teenagers. 65, yeah, till they get the license. But last night, when was it? Yeah. Left the Rosenau's about 6:36 to head toward the gospel mission. We were the first ones out of the house. And I mean, it would have been at 6:30, except my wife was still talking. With enough prodding, you know, I cut about 5-6 minutes off of the talk. Come on, honey, we gotta go. Get on the road. And she goes, Ben's gonna beat us there. Ben's not even left yet. I said, no, he isn't. And I get over there in that, you know, that fast lane. And I'm going 65 because I follow the letter of the law. I mean, until this policeman from Citrus Heights, we got halfway to Sacramento. Policeman from Citrus Heights goes past me, you know, and I hadn't even noticed him, but I noticed everybody else kind of slows down for some reason, you know, when a policeman comes by. But I decided, you know, he's tooling along. He doesn't have his lights on, and I notice he's carrying passengers in the back. And I think, you know what? It's not like chasing an ambulance and chasing, you know, a cop chaser for, you know, the scene of emergency. He was just moving along. He wasn't on a chase. And there was no emergency. He was just transporting, I would assume, prisoners. So I thought, well, I'm just going to kind of follow him. And I got, you know, a safe distance behind him. And I just stuck with him. And you know what? And I noticed that I was the only one doing it. And I thought, he's not going to bother me. I'm just going with the law. And the law thinks that there's some freedom here. And I'm just going with the law. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. But then the law's going like 80 and 84. And I keep looking down at it. And nobody else is following me, following the law. They're just like poking along in that middle lane. And I'm thinking, well, it's because they see him going and they're all putting on their brakes. I mean, I had to push on the gas to keep up with the guy. Or it may have been a girl, huh? You know, it's 21st century, lady cops. But then I thought, okay, now what happens if another cop, like a California Highway Patrol, comes behind me? And I'm thinking, I don't really want to have that conversation because I want to get there before Ben. So I pulled over into the middle lane. And I just kind of backed off the gas. The letter of the law killeth. We ought to practice what we preach. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... Let's say that again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is...
Freedom.
Basic Christianity. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
It's not about religion. It's about relationship. Relationship with God first. That vertical relationship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, says our Lord Jesus. Repeating the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Repeating that about the law that is so good. Those 613 commandments, you know what the people of Jesus' day was doing? They were debating over the prioritization of the do's and the don'ts that they had come up with. Now, from my study, it says that they chose 250 affirmative laws that they found in the law. And they counted one for every part of the human body as they understood the human body. 248 parts of the body. The 365 negatives, according to the John MacArthur commentary on Matthew 19 through 23, there was one for every day of the year. That's if we just accept what our teachers tell us. I don't know if the Jewish calendar had 365 days in the year. I'm going to have to ask another scholar. 613 laws, because in the Hebrew characters of the Ten Commandments, there were 613 letters. 613 individual letters in the Ten Commandments. Oh, what it is we can do with religion when we come up with our laws. It's Friday. We're getting to know each other. We're sorting out what kind of church do we want to have? What kind of church do we want to be? Do we want to be appealing to senior citizens and at the same time appealing to teenagers? Do we want to let the little children know that they're loved and welcomed, ushered in to wherever Jesus is? Do we want to take care of the sick? Do we want to visit those that are in the jails and the prisons? Do we want pure religion that's undefiled before God? Do we want a widow visiting church? An orphan sustaining church? Do we want a great commission, great commandment church? I do. I've heard that signs aren't allowed. But for some reason we've got three crosses up there. And in the newspaper, if you look at it, get on www.auburnjournal.com. Go make a comment. But it says on Easter, this Sunday, Easter, April 8th, the preacher, the new guy down at Bell Road, it says, we're going to be simple this Easter. Easter's going to be simple. It's going to be short. It's going to be practical. And some of us are going to gather at the three crosses up on the hill at 6:30 a.m. Because the website, Time and Place website, says that sunrise is supposed to come up about 6:40 in Sacramento on April 8th, 2007. So we're going to be there 6:30. The trumpets are going to resound and the sun's going to rise from the horizon. And darkness is going to turn into light. And we're going to pray. We're going to be the first fruits. Now maybe somebody reading the newspaper is going to say, you know what? I'm going to go up there. I'm going to go up to where those three crosses, and they're going to, you know, go down to the Presbyterian church and go, where is everybody? I'm going to ask for my team leaders to come up. This is just a test. All right. So, she came at the sound of the bell. The bells and whistles, though, are missing their whistler. Head whistler, you going to appoint one?
Whistler's coming.
Whistler. Oh, whistler's coming. All right. See, now they're the bells and the whistles, and so we're going to let this guy be the ringers. Why don't you bring your whole team on up? Just ring your bell. Ring your bell. Blow your whistle. Right, stand over there. Gather around your team leader, please. I got a presentation to make to all team leaders. I need my deacons up there, if there's a deacon. I need my music director up there, if there's a music director. I need the pastor's wife up there. Pastor's wife, Kurt, the music director. Kurt, stand up on the platform. Pastor's wife up on the platform. Deacon, representative of deacons up on the platform. Little guy said to me today, came up to the platform and wanted to know, what are these? I think every captain ought to have one. Bob, we're going to start with you. When you are a leader, Bob, I don't want you to be offensive. I want you to use everything God has given you except bad breath. It's of the devil. And Bob, this is made by Listerine. I hope you're not against alcohol, because there is alcohol content, along with a little pinch of eucalyptus and citrus. I wonder, Thelma, where's Thelma at? Thelma, will you sort these out? You go ahead and put your whistle on, over your head there. Now don't mess up that hair. Oh, that's too small. No, here, you don't need to, babe. Go ahead, take. I called the lady babe. Now, I just don't think that's really. Well, the way a pastor ought to talk to the sisters in the church. Ann, will you come here, hon? It says, oh, she's babe and you're hun. Yeah, okay. Put it over your head. Go ahead, put one over your head, Thelma. Okay, now, sister, let the pastor have one. Pastor, last week I was at Joy Fellowship, and nobody said anything. But I went around and I greeted everybody. And then I got a load of my breath afterwards. So, yeah, well, you know what? We usually remember who it is that has bad breath, don't we? And then we check next time. Oh, I hope it doesn't smell that way this time. You know, because there's no sign out there, it's going to be word of mouth that gets people here on Easter. And I want your word of mouth to be sweet. Bob, I want your word of mouth to be sweet and fresh. And give yourself a couple sprays. It says 2 to 3. Now, I've already primed them for you. Now, point it the right way. Don't get Rena in the eye with it. All right. April's not here, so I'm going to save hers. Deacons, come on down here, Mike. Now, nobody gets around Mike's breath because he's ahead over you. But Mike, wear it proudly. We will bring Wolfgang and Dave Browning up next week. All right, give yourself a couple toots. It's not an intelligence test, but you do have to look at it a little bit. Kurt, will you come on down? Come on down! I think a choir director, anybody dealing with people's voices, do it like this. Could really use one of these. Kurt, wear it proudly. Now, what we're going to do, you know, now some churches give out coffee mugs. But I kind of figure, go over to Elevation, go over to Calvary Chapel, go to Adventureland or Disneyland or whatever it is, get your coffee mug. And then with your stanky coffee breath, come over here and get your Bell Road breath freshener. Do we have all the leaders? Oh, there's one. Pastor's wife. Now, you can't have... Come on down, Kathy. You can't have a pastor's wife walk around with stanky breath. Give yourself a couple shots, dear. Okay, we got babe, honey, and dear. And all guys are buddy or young man. Basically the way we go. Okay, the leaders all got it, right? We got the deacons. You know what, Pastor John Trafton, you're on a team, but you know you are an ordained minister of the gospel who likes to talk and brag up his church. Come on down, John Trafton. And go ahead and give yourself a couple shots. Now, these can be purchased, two for about $5 over at Long's Drugs. They don't come engraved with Bell Road Baptist Church. But, you know, we're going to be the sweetest church. A little bit of alcohol and a shot of eucalyptus, and we're ready. We are ready to reach out, huh? Hallelujah. Now what we're going to do, teams, you go ahead and have a seat. But if you've been, unless you're wearing a rope, stand up on the front. I'm going to ask anybody else that I've talked to in the past about being prayer warriors, if you'd be willing to come stand. I'll take that, dear. That's mine.
Give yourself a couple of sprays.
Little guy, Peter. Was it Peter that I shot with the... Yeah, oh, he didn't know what to think of that. Eucalyptus. These candles are here, not because we're trying to be all new agey and all with candles. You know, candles, a candle reminds us, light a light. You know, put a candle in the windowsill. Let them know that if they get tired of eating with the pigs, that they can come to their right mind and come home. And the light's going to be on. The table's going to be set. We've got a chair open for them. We're not closed-door Baptists. We're open-door Baptists. We want them to come and to feel welcome in the house of the Lord. No matter how many steps they've taken away, it's only one step back. I want you to remember that with your word of mouth. No matter how many steps you've taken away, it's only one step back. And that step back might be, come to church with me on Palm Sunday. That's next Sunday. Come to church with me on Easter. These candles are here so that you might remember in this season up to Easter that we need to be a praying church, because God gives to those who ask. God opens the door for those who are knocking. God delivers discovery to those who are seeking to go higher, to go deeper, to go wider with Him. I wonder if we bring the lights on down, the music's going to start real pretty. If you'll just stand with me, we'll have a prayer dismissal. If you need to go, I've already kept you long past the whatever time it is. But after this prayer dismissal, you have the opportunity to come forward and to light a candle to pray for somebody. You have the opportunity to come forward to one of these fresh breath brothers or sisters. And you know that they're going to pray a sweet prayer with you about your area of concern. And if you're involved in something you're just embarrassed about, or it's private, you can say, this is an unspoken request. And that brother, that sister will pray with you about that issue that you're carrying today. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It has gone forth with the anointing of your Holy Spirit, with an unction that comes from you. We thank you that you've kept our ears open long enough that some of it got in. And you've kept our eyes open long enough that we were able to see something that needs to be tweaked, something that needs to be fixed, something that needs to be made better. Lord, start with us, that we will be the church that is the oasis, the refuge, the wonderful place of peace that passes all understanding. Bless us as we approach Palm Sunday and Holy Week and Good Friday and the darkness that is in so many lives because it's Friday. People who are lost without hope in the world, help us just to go out there and start discovering where are the gates of hell so we can gather together and get ready to kick down that gate and set captives free. In Jesus' name we pray.